There's a real warning in that passage, but then such a comfort at the end. So if you're feeling quite, oh no, no, I can't even pray for anything, please don't go away feeling like that this morning. What it's saying is, you know, we need to be right before God when we come into prayer. And we need to make sure that we have clean hands and a pure heart. And if we do those things, if we're walking in a state of repentance and confession, then God is going to use us to bless, not to curse. So, how might you know if there is a curse that is operating? Can you turn to Deuteronomy 28? Deuteronomy 28. Could I have four people reading a verse each? Could I have somebody read verse 28, somebody read 34, somebody read 20, and somebody read 65. So that's four verses in Deuteronomy 28. So could somebody read 28? Thank you. 34, Joe? Abigail, could you read 20? Thank you. And 65. Thanks, Anthea. So just one after the other, if we could read those.
The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and mental confusion.
Okay.
The Lord will send on you curses, completing everything that you have to do, until you are destroyed from the earth, because of what you have done.
Could you just read that last bit of that verse again, or read the whole of that last one again? Brilliant. So the first indication of a curse is mental or emotional breakdown. Sorry? Yes, please.
There among those nations you will find no place of security and rest, and the Lord will cause your heart to tremble, your eyesight to fail, and your soul to spare.
So the first indication of the curse, mental or emotional breakdown. And I'm not just talking about when it's the person who's coming for ministry who's just displaying those symptoms. It could be a curse, but it's particularly when you start seeing it in several family members, then you can see often very clearly what's going on. So if somebody comes to you in a state of mental or emotional breakdown, it might be a curse, but it might be something else quite equally. It could be a soul tie thing. It could be, you know, it could be lots of things, but it could be a curse. That's all I'm wanting to say this morning, is that when you're praying with people, just in the back of your mind, it could be a curse, and you just need to break that. So the second one, could I have these verses read? There's quite a few of them. 21 and 22, could they be read together? All again from Deuteronomy 28. 27, 35, in fact, we'll have 27 and 28 together. So could I have 21 and 22? Who could read those two? Thanks, Margaret. 27 and 28. Thanks, Val. 35. Thank you. 59 and 61. Perhaps we could read those two together as well. Could you read those last two, Jo? 59 and 61. Thank you. 61. So Deuteronomy 28 verse 21 first of all, and 22.
The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish.
Thank you.
The Lord will afflict you with boils of Egypt, and with tumours, festering sores, and the itch, from which cannot be cured. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind.
The Lord will cover you from head to foot with incurable boils.
Any guesses as to what this one might be? Sorry? What the sickness? Yeah. Plagues. Yeah, the same sort. Do you notice how it says the Lord will? Now, there is a struggle here because we believe in a God who gives good things, don't we? Now, the reason these curses came on the people was because it is a form of judgment, because they were out of, because of the sin. And God is a holy God, and he longs for us to repent and be drawn back to him. And judgment like this is designed to bring us back to God. It's designed to convict us and turn us round and go the other way. Does that make sense? That's a hard thing. So, can we have the other two read out, please? Yes. You know, my brain's gone absolutely blank. I can't remember how to spell hereditary. I'm looking at it and thinking, H-E-R-E-D-I-T-Y. Thank you. Deuteronomy 28, verse 18. Just that one. Could somebody read that one?
Your descendants will be cursed, and your land will produce the young of your herds and the newborn of your flock.
I'm not sure that is the right verse.
The fruit of your womb,
it's that one. Is that not 18?
Is that your descendants will be cursed, and your land will produce the young of your herds, the newborn of your flock.
Could we have it in an NIV translation as well? Okay, could you read the whole thing?
The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs in your flock.
The other thing is, you will be cursed with few children and barren fields. You will be cursed with infertile herds and flocks.
Yeah. So, infertility and barrenness can be a curse. But remember, yesterday we talked about how we're body, soul, and spirit. So there can be physical problems. There can be physical reasons for infertility and barrenness as well that are not necessarily because there is a curse, but simply because we live in a fallen world and our bodies don't work properly sometimes. You know that it's not necessarily going to be because of a curse. And we need to be really careful that we communicate that, so that we're not saying to people who can't have children, it's your fault. We really must be very careful that we don't end up making people feel condemned for things that actually are awful things that are happening in their lives.
But actually, without understanding the body, soul and spirit bit,
yes,
that we talked about, it's dangerous to go into this, isn't
yes
it?
Because yes,
I think sometimes when people have heard this part of the teaching and not understood the whole teaching,
yes,
then people can be putting these things on people, and actually, I think it's devastating.
Absolutely. And you know, Margaret, as well, the other thing is that you might not, you know, you need to be really careful how you bring this up with people. And it might be that you need to spend some time teaching, because when we know the truth sets us free. And it might simply be that you don't even mention it, but in your praying, you just break the power of any curses. You know, it might be as simple as that. You know what you're doing. The enemy knows what you're doing. And you just happen to be praying for that person. And you don't need to necessarily...
But can you do it, like, on behalf of?
Yes.
I mean, I can say that because, you know, like... If you know someone who's really sick, sometimes they're not in a position to hear.
No, they're not in a position to hear.
You know, if they're going through a chronic sickness, then it's kind of difficult to even begin down this road because it's just not where, you know, they're struggling with enough as it is at the moment.
And the last thing you want to do is bring them under condemnation.
Yeah.
That then it's all their fault that they're so sick.
Mm-hmm.
You might discern a curse. And in prayer ministry, you can simply pray, and in the name of Jesus, I just take authority over any curse that has been spoken against this person, and I speak life and blessing. And, you know, that can be all you need to do. This is really just helping us to understand what's happening. 28:41. Could somebody read that one, please?
You will have some servants that will not keep them, but they will go into captivity. Bring the servants that they will all receive and stop with your land.
Sometimes you can see breakdown of marriage and family life happening as a result of a curse. 17:28 and 47 and 48. 17. Somebody like to read that one?
Your body and your knee.
Thank you. 29. Verse 29, someone.
At midday you will grope about like a blind man in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day will be oppressed and robbed, and no one will rescue you.
I know, it is depressing, isn't it? Don't worry, we're nearly at the end. 47 and 48.
Because you have not served the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm, and the blessings, benefits you have received, you will serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. You will be a hungry, thirsty nation and lacking in everything. They will oppress you harshly until you are destroyed.
Continuing financial insufficiency. There's a wonderful verse in Malachi, I think, which talks about putting your money in your pockets, but your pockets always having holes in them. And there's this idea that, you know, when you're that no matter how much money you have, it's never enough. Now, I know we always feel it's never enough, but I mean, it's really never enough. And interesting enough, Rhett and I, when we were living in Northern Ireland some years ago, were given by my in-laws actually something that they'd brought back from a trip to Africa, a little bird. And actually, I really liked this little bird. It was metal, and I thought it was quite attractive. And we had it in our house. And I have to say that that year. I believe it was a cursed object, but it wasn't until after a year of living with this bird that we found out what it was. But that year was just the most appalling year. First of all, God was very gracious. He gave a number of words and pictures, actually about birds, and I didn't understand a single one of them. Somebody gave me a word and picture about birds pecking, and I really had no idea. It was like, yeah, I just couldn't picture what this might be. Then another time in prayer ministry, I had a very clear picture when somebody was praying for me of a bird with claws that had me by the throat that was carrying me like this. Now that year I have to say that Rhett had to have surgery for a growth in his throat that had just grown and it was affecting his voice box. We just never had enough money that year. Every single electrical appliance in our house broke, one after the other. And some of them, like the dishwasher, didn't really break, but we had to replace them. So the dishwasher, for instance, it broke, it stopped working. So we called somebody out to fix it. They came out, they fixed it. 2 months later, it broke again. At this point, I thought, well, there's no point in getting it fixed again. I've just spent, you know, however many, £80-90 getting it fixed. We won't get it fixed again. We'll get a new dishwasher. Got a new dishwasher. Installed the new dishwasher. The new dishwasher wouldn't work. So they came out with another dishwasher, plugged that in, that one didn't work. It's not a problem with the dishwasher, it's a problem with your socket. So that had meant that we had got rid of a dishwasher that worked perfectly well, because it was, and you see, it was things like that. And it was over and over and over and over again. And it didn't matter how hard we worked, and I went back to work to earn some money. It didn't matter how much, it was just never enough. And eventually, after the surgery that Rhett had had and all these things were just coming together, we just thought, enough is enough, and what can we do? And Lord, we're desperate, and this is just awful, and things are just appalling. And we said to these Christian friends of ours, we are desperate. Will you come and pray for us? We don't know what's going on, but something is wrong. Come and pray. And they came and prayed in our house, and they said, we think there might be something in your house that's, you know, that's cursed. And we were like, whatever it is, whatever it is, we will throw it out. You know, but we don't know what it is. I don't feel that there's anything that's bothering me in this house. And they walked around the whole house and they prayed. And at the end of this walk around the house, they came back into our living room, and independently they both said, it's that bird on your fireplace. And I was like, but I like that bird, you know, I don't feel that about it. Anyway, just take it. And it was made of metal, this bird. So Rhett, my husband, and this guy took it outside, and they tried to destroy it. They could not destroy it. They were jumping on it. They were, you know, knocking it. Anyway, eventually it was rather disfigured, and we put it in the dustbin, and do you know, it stopped. All those things stopped, and it was a cursed object. Now, I don't know how it was cursed, I don't know why it was cursed, but it was. And it had a huge effect for that year that it was in our home. So these things can happen, and I testify to that. Continuing financial insufficiency can be a major indication of a curse. So
these aren't...
No. You might just have one or two. Yeah. Yeah. And so that curse can be in an object as well. It's not necessarily something that somebody has said or done, but it can be in an object. And for instance, if you have items in your house that have been used in occult purposes or Freemasonry or those kind of things, they can be cursed objects. Number six. Being accident prone. Could I have 28 verse 29 being read?
The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. That means they will be rejected, both out like a blind man in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day, you will be oppressed and robbed with no one to you.
And it is about being oppressed and robbed. And this accident proneness thing, again, you know, I testified to this one as a child. I was a really clumsy child. And my family all used to say, oh, you know, Lisa will, if there's something to trip over, I'll trip over. If it's something to break, I'll break it. And it was said again and again and again about me. And when I was in my late teens, so my family are Christians, and I'd grown up believing in Jesus. And when I was about 18, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And somebody taught me at that point about curses. And I realized that this was something that I had said about myself, and that my family had always said about me. And I prayed about it. It was a really simple prayer. It didn't, you know, nothing particularly dramatic. But I'm not accident prone. I'm not clumsy. I don't do that. And it, you know, it just stopped. And it's interesting because I have a cousin who, we were very close as children, saw each other all the time. Then we emigrated. She stayed where she was. And it's only been in recent years that we started living in the same locality again. And she's reminded me a couple of times of how accident prone as a child I was. And I, you know, it's interesting how that can be something that is put upon you, and you then fulfill it and you become it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
kids who used to come to school and they say, oh, she's a little monster, Mr. Cox, you know, please don't go
yeah.
Yeah. You know, otherwise
she'll
be.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's what we expect, it's what they'll do, isn't it?
Yeah. So last of all, we're nearly there. We've already read a number of these references, so I won't read them again, but the last of all is a history of suicide, unnatural or untimely death. And you might see that in a family, for instance. Again, looking at that family tree thing, you know, all those deaths are in one chunk, and it can be that it's a generational thing, and the generational thing can be coming from a curse. So that can have taken place in that. And again, you know, in my own family history, we have a famous curse in our family history. And it's funny how, you know, you start talking to people and they say, oh yeah, well, yeah, our family was cursed. You know, it's like you're almost proud of it. My great-grandparents left Russia during the revolution, and they fled for their lives with their children. They had three children who were all under six, and they fled with what they could carry. And my family history is that my grandmother and her sister had carried little stuffed toys with all the family jewels inside them, and they carried them as they left Russia, and they took the last train that left across Siberia during the revolution. As they were on that journey, fleeing for their lives, there was a gypsy Russian peasant woman who asked for money, and they refused to give her any money, and she cursed the three children. And according to the family legend, she said that they would have unhappiness in marriage, it was along these lines, and they would know pain, and they would have short marriages, or something like that. It was a really nasty curse. Now the funny thing is, so it's not funny, but my grandmother then grew up. She had a sister and a brother. Those were the three children. They all got married. Within 5 years, all of them had lost their spouse. So curses actually, they come true. It happens. You know, my grandfather was my grandmother's husband. He died of a burst appendix. My great aunt's husband died of cancer. And my great uncle's wife, I can't quite remember how she died, but all within 5 years, they were all widowed. It's extraordinary, really, when you think about it. They all left young children. And curses can work. And we take them very lightly. And you know, my family did nothing about it. Because they were just, you know, oh yeah, well, it was part of the family story, and it was a story that I grew up hearing as a child. And yet, we have the power to break those curses. I was once in a and the teaching.
How much does the church? How much have I ever heard in church about that particular?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. And we don't have to live with those curses. In my 20s, I had a very odd experience once, just after I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. I was in a fabric shop, looking at fabric, as you do. And it was a big shop, and it was one of those shops, there's not very many of them these days, with rolls of fabric on low tables all over the shop. And I was just walking around in a kind of a bit of a daze and not really taking any notice. And I do this in shops, so if you ever see me in a shop, I will completely ignore you because I haven't seen you because I'm thinking about something else. I was looking at the fabric, and this woman came up to me who I had never seen and never saw again. And she came right up to me, and she put her face right in my face And she said to me, the first Christian who came into the shop after me is going to have leukemia within the next year. And then she turned around and she walked out. It was the most bizarre event. It really was. And I believe she tried to curse me in that shop. But you know Proverbs 20:27, curse without cause cannot alight. Not 20:27, it's the one we read yesterday. It's in your notes. A curse without cause cannot alight, like a fluttering sparrow or a swooping bird. What is it? A curse without cause cannot alight. And I obviously have not had leukemia within a year, but I believe she tried to curse me on that day. And there's power in curses, and that's why the enemy would like to use them. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to... 26-2, thank you. Thank you, Anthea. So I prayed it off. I did. No, I didn't just assume it, but I did pray against it because I was quite upset, I have to say. Yeah. But yeah, you're right, Chantal, and those kind of chainmail things often have curses as part of them. And you know, Satan wants to kill, to steal, to rob, to destroy. And this is a key method. You know, yeah, well, I would say just, yeah, absolutely, recognise that that's a curse. Recognise that is a curse, and you just need to pray, Lord Jesus, thank you that you became the curse for me, which is what Galatians 5 verse 16 says, that Jesus on the cross became a curse for us. So every curse has been dealt with on the cross. I love that. You know, that every single curse has been dealt with on the cross. No, it's not 5:16. It is Galatians, and I will just have to... Here we are, 3:16. Start at verse 13. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. It's the law that brings us into condemnation because it convicts us of sin. It's the thing that reveals the sin. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it's written in Scripture, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So Jesus himself became a curse for us. That's Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. If you discern a curse, what would you do? So you've got somebody who's coming to you. What's going on? So you're praying for the intuition of the Holy Spirit. So when you're praying for that person, you're praying that God will give you intuition. Yeah. Generationally up. So you would deal with it in the same way that you deal with a generational thing. You would encourage that person. Well, again, sensitively, do you think that maybe there could be a curse that's operating against your family? Do you think we could pray about that? You know, so that it's not... There is. But, you know, you can offer it to somebody and they can say, oh, no, actually, I really don't think that's the case. And you can say, well, that's fine, you know, but if you ever felt there was, I'd be very happy to pray with you. But if they said, oh, yeah, no, then that would be good to pray about that, then it would be good to do the same things that you would do for the generational thing. So you'd encourage them to just confess any curse that has been spoken about their family line, because... if you've made a curse about yourself or a vow, it can be an inner vow, my mum struggles with this at the moment, and I don't think she would mind me telling you this. When my mum was a very little girl, her mother was given 6 weeks to live, very ill indeed with tuberculosis, and my grandfather left my mother, my mother and my grandmother during that time. And my mother, who was 5 years old, made a vow that she would never leave her mother on her own, that she would never not allow somebody, you know, and you can understand that. My grandmother is now 99, nearly 100, and that vow has become like a curse because my mother cannot let anybody else look after her mother. So, you know, we can make those kind of vows for good reasons, and we can, you know, but what we need to do is we need to confess and repent that we have said things that actually we shouldn't have said, and ask Jesus to forgive us. And then, in the name of Jesus and in his authority, we take authority over all spirit of curse, and we just break it, tell it to go, tell it to come off the family line, tell all these things that might be associated with it to go, and declare freedom and declare victory and declare the fullness of the Lord Jesus and his blessings, and amen and hallelujah, and it's sorted. You know, and actually there might be habits of behaviour and things that we need to change as well. But, you know, the spiritual stuff is actually really easy to deal with because we have authority in Christ, because he's become the curse for us, because he's done it all, because we're fighting a defeated foe. You know, these things are not hard. In fact, I'd much rather somebody came to me with a spiritual thing, because it's so much easier to pray about than something when it's an emotional thing. So we need to be careful what words we use and our mannerisms and how we speak about God's blessings. Because actually, what I want to do now is I just want to read from Deuteronomy 28 about God's blessings, because they're the wonderful things, and this is actually, you know, what God desires and intends for us. If you obey the Lord your God by keeping all the commands I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will exalt you above all the nations of the world. You'll experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in your towns and in the country. You'll be blessed with many children and productive fields. You'll be blessed with fertile herds and flocks. You'll be blessed with baskets overflowing with fruit and kneading bowls filled with bread. You'll be blessed wherever you go, both in coming and in going. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will bless everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. And it continues to talk about some of those blessings. These are the blessings. God intends for us to be a blessed people. God intends it. He intends us to be a people who speak blessing. And actually, if you only spend a tiny bit of your time breaking curses and the majority of your time speaking blessing, that's the right way round. You know, we're called to be a people of blessing. And one of the roles of the priest in the temple was to speak blessing on the people. And a fabulous book, The Grace Outpouring, if you haven't read it, about a rediscovery of God's desire to use his people to speak blessing on their neighbours, on their families, on their friends, on their, you know, into their communities. That God desires us to be a people who bless those around us. And actually, yes, I've given you all of this stuff because I want you to go into prayer ministry empowered, and I want you to go into prayer ministry feeling like, yeah, I can do this, I can pray about these things. But it's blessing that we want to be doing even more.